And if he doesn't, then he chooses to move earlier than the 30 days.
One of the most significant developments in America over the last several years is the failure of millions of young people to leave their homes, to grow up, to mature, even those that are fully employed. There was a stat in November of 2016, a report came out that 45% of young adults in New Jersey between the ages of 18 and 34 never leave their parents' houses. 45%. Now, there's always been some and there's times, but 45% is a lot of people. There's a movie that came out. There it is. Failure to Watch. You can go back to that one. Thank you. I got it. Failure to Launch. And that just wasn't a movie. It's a national epidemic. And there are these people in their 30s that just they won't grow because their growth is stunted. They won't leave. And again, there's always unique situations, but it has become a big deal. And when there is growth that is stunted, it's never a good thing. When people won't mature, it's not good. UNICEF has spent billions of dollars, and they have recognized and pinpointed that the first 1,000 days of a child's life will help them to grow. And so this issue of not growing up, not maturing, not only happens in the adult world, it happens with infants, and it happens in the church. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're new here and you've been here for maybe the last 2 months, we typically go through books of the Bible. We go through the New Testament book, then an Old Testament book, and we are basically a little over halfway through the book of Ephesians. I encourage you to, if you're new, go back and read chapters 1 through 3 because it talks about our identity in Christ. It talks about who we are in Christ. And there's some great theological truths. And right doctrine is essential for right living. And so it's important to know that. Let me invite you to stand, if you would, please, for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all obtain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in him in every way, into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it may build itself up in love. Father, we come before you, and I pray that as your body here at Crosspoint, that we would be growing up and building up the body and being what you want us to be, so that we build your body up in love. So Lord, do your work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's several points I want to bring out in this passage. We've already gone through the section where he talks about he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Pastor Jason and myself have a job to do every Sunday. We preach God's word to you that you would take it and you would grow and you would do the work of the ministry. And so in a real way, you're the ministers. We do the equipping, but you're the one that makes it happen. And so what is the goal of this? What is the goal? Well, the goal is Christ-likeness. The goal is that we would grow up to be like Jesus. We're Christians. It says right in verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the full stature of the fullness of Christ. And there's just a few things that jump right out in verse 13, at the start of verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith. What is the faith? What do we believe? We believe the gospel. The gospel is the simple truth. And when I speak this truth, I'm telling you, I have this conversation with people every day. I was riding with the officers last night, and one of the guys, we just got into a great conversation. And here's the truth of life. We're all sinners. We live in a fallen world. And the wages of sin is death. We're dying, and we're spiritually separated from God. And the good news is that no church, not this church, not any church, will get you into heaven. It's not by what you do. It is the free gift of eternal life where Christ came, and on the cross, he died the death that we deserve. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when he died for everything you will ever do wrong. Everything. And we are messed up. He died for all your junk, all my junk. He died for it. And he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he says, if you will believe me, trust me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you will trust me, you will have forgiveness of sins, and you will have a future and a hope, and he can forgive you and will forgive you. And that is the faith. And when we have that, we have unity. We do. We're on the same page. And we're to contend for that. Jude 3, it says, we're to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And when we have that oneness, and when we're all on the same page, then we go in that direction and we serve him. And so he wants that group of people. He's writing to these Ephesian church that they would all attain to the unity of the faith. And then he says, the knowledge of the Son of God. And he's not talking about salvation knowledge here. He's talking about knowing Jesus, the knowledge of knowing him. Do you know him? Not that you know about him. My fear is, as a pastor, is like, a lot of people know the Jesus talk, but do you know him? I've been married 32 years, and I can look at my wife and give you a readout of what's going on. And she can look at me. I walk through the door, and she'll be like, what is wrong with you? Why? Because she knows me. And we, as his children, his body, we are to be so in tune with him. And that's our goal, that we would know him. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. For the sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Jesus was more important than anything to Paul, and he wanted the Philippians to know that. So he's more important than, your health. He is more important than your dreams. He's more important than your spouse, your mate, your friend. He's more important than your possessions. He is more important than your money. All that stuff's going to go away. He's more important than your security. He's more important than your political party. He's more important than everything. And when you have him, then you have everything, and he knows you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so that's our goal, is that we would be Christ-like, that we would mature to mature manhood. It is a generic man and womanhood, that we would be grown up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's sad when it doesn't happen. In the church at Corinth, Paul had to write to them, and here's what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it. It is a bad thing if you got a 10-year-old walking around and he's got a Bible. Matter of fact, it's a bad thing if you got a 5-year-old and he's walking around and he's just dripping his bottle of milk and just sipping on the milk. It's like, no, You got to grow up. You got to start. You got to start eating real food. It goes on to say, "For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and striving among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" You, let me just say this: we're believers. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you don't act like the world. You don't act like the people out there. We act like Christians. We, you know, we're humans, but the Scripture calls us aliens. We are to live differently. So if you don't always fit in, it's okay. There are some circumstances and situations you shouldn't fit in, because we're called to be a different people. In Colossians 1:28, it says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." That's our goal here at Crossfire. We want you to grow up in Christ. And none of us, can I say this, we're not all there yet. But there should be a growth pattern that happens. I expect a 3-year-old to act like a 3-year-old. I don't expect a 23-year-old to act like a 3-year-old, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a bad thing when that happens. You get cranky when you're in the grocery line and 3-year-olds are acting up. And sometimes it's like, well, that's what they do. But when you see an adult making a fool out of themselves in the grocery line, you ever have that happen? You ever go to the store and have those awkward times? And someone's like, they're all mad about something. It's like, lighten up, Francis. What's going on with this guy? I mean, you just wonder what is happening. Well, he's a little boy in a big man body. That's all it is. And we are called to be people, as his followers, that grow up. Secondly, we see is what hinders us. What is it that hinders us? The goal is maturity. It says in verse 14, "So that we are no longer but children, tossed to and fro with the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, and by human cunning, and by the craftiness and deceitful schemes." One of the joys of being a parent is you take your kids sooner or later down to the ocean. And this happens to every parent. You take them down to the ocean, and you're just having fun. And then a big wave comes and blasts them, you know? I mean, happens to every parent. Or even if you're in a safe spot, you're kind of like, you're digging little sandcastles. Bam! There goes the wave. I'm going to be great. Show of hands. How many of you that's happened? That happened to my kids all the time. No, I'm the only bad parent here. Okay, great. Make me feel bad. That's good. But, I mean, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be tossed to and fro and thrown about with waves. And he nails down three elements here. He says, don't be thrown about by every wind of doctrine. So don't just sit there and say, oh, well, I was watching TV and CNN had a special on the resurrection of Jesus and it says that it was really a hoax. Do not get your theology from any television show. Get it from the Word of God. I mean, it's scary. But Pastor Jason and I hear some scary stuff where, you know, you'll hear something on the radio or you'll hear something at work or you'll watch a show and you'll wonder if it's like biblical truth. And my thing is like, you're being mature, go to the Bible. We'll help you. But don't follow what this world says, because this world does not have sound doctrine. And so we need to make sure that we are feeding ourselves well in God's Word. Towards the end of Paul's ministry, the very church that he's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He gathers with the Ephesian elders, and he says, I'm never going to see you again. You are never going to see my face again. But he says this very, very stern and really sad warning to his fellow elders. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. For from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night and day, to admonish you, everyone with tears. I mean, that's what we try to do as elders and teachers. We try to admonish you and warn you and give you God's word. Because there's a lot of twisted things out there, and the devil wants to twist it. The last 4 weeks we have spent, as we started this year, we talked about what does it mean to make Christ the center of your lives. And we went over four topics of worship and Bible study and serving and accountability. And yes, you're here at worship. Thank you. May you continue. May you be here more than you're not. May you continue to do that. May you be here unless you can't. And again, I'm okay with vacations, but like when we talked about that week, don't make it be the first thing that gets jettisoned out of your schedule. But then the whole issue of studying the scriptures. You want to be sound, you want to grow up, you need to grow yourself and learn and take things and apply them in your lives. There's a second thing he talks about. He says, by human cunning, we will be led astray with trickery. Again, when the world says stuff like that. In Colossians 2:8 it says, see to it that no one take you captive by philosophy or by empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. So in this world will try to say, oh, you should do this. And in reality, it's like, what does God's word say about it? Not what is going on in the world, but we need to be the people who not look at the different things that are going on and what the world says. You will find people that will give you the advice that is horrible. It'll be horrible. But you got to run everything through God's word. And then he says, beware, don't be tossed to and fro by the craftiness and deceitful schemes. There is a God. There is a devil. Now, and we're not ashamed to say that. There is a devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to deceive you. He is the great deceiver. And he will deceive even the most seasoned believer to say, oh, I've done that. And you will have the option of good, better, and best. And you can be deceived to say, oh, this is good. But yet, is it for the glory of Christ? We have to understand we do have an adversary. When we get to Ephesians 6, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the one that we're going to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So I don't know if you know this. Tonight there's a big game. It's called the Super Bowl. And you know who's going to win? The team who has the best scheme. The one who at halftime comes out, makes adjustments, and figures out what the other team was doing and then applies it. They're going to win. And I will tell you who that is if you give me $50. Just kidding. It's a joke. But that's what's going to happen. They're going to figure it out. And the best team will rise. It always seems to happen that way. And so we are God's people. We got to know, wait a minute. What's going on in this world? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a bit. The third thing, what's the path to Christ-likeness? It says in verse 15, rather, here's what we need to do, rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth, what is the truth? Again, the truth is what God's word has said. Not what you think, not what you feel. It is what does God's word say? It's actually pretty easy. It's pretty easy to do because it's like, okay, what does God's word say and what should I do? And he says, speak the truth in love. We talk about that in the issue of conflict. And yes, we are to speak the truth in love, but we're to speak the truth of love to ourselves. And in that we'll grow. So, a question for you. Are you, it's hard to think about, are you more like Jesus today than 6 months ago? Are you hotter or colder? Are you really more like him? My prayer is that next week, we will be more like Jesus than we are this week. And I'm not saying you're going to, again, it's like the stock market. It goes up and down and you don't, we're not perfect and we're going to stumble, but we should be broken by that. We should repent and we should grow in him and become like him in every way. And then he goes on to verse 16. for from whom the whole body joined and held together. You are the body of Christ. You are Christ's body. If you're here today and you say, Jesus is my Savior, He's my Lord, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of that. And so we do care for each other. We do pray for each other. It says, from each one, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's what we're called to do. We're to be the body of Christ and to build each other up. Every one of us, do our part. You're new here in time, find your part. You know, again, find your place to serve, find your place to do what God's called you to do. And then we're going to grow up. Then we're going to be mature. Then we're going to be His body serving Him His way. And we will be doing missions, and we will be doing caring for each other, and we will be praying for each other, and we're helping each other grow, and we're helping those that are hurting. And we will be God's hands and feet. And that's a great life to live. And the more of us do it, the better off, the more effective this body is. Now last week, Pastor Jason, he did a tremendous job talking about accountability and how we're called to be accountable. And he introduced the whole idea of community groups and there's different core groups. And when our Bible study, the men's Bible study Monday night, we were reviewing the message and talking about it. I have given the men 10 questions for years. And grab your bulletin. There's a little paper. Everyone grab that. And it's a whole concept of iron sharpening iron. And I've, over the years, borrowed this from different ideas, from different people. And if you don't have one of these, there's one as you leave to the left over there. But I want to go through these because whether it's in your community group or in your core group or you do this with somebody. You have someone in your life that you can speak the truth to. So let's go through this and I'm going to explain some of these things. Number one, am I preaching to myself or listening to myself? And that was, I think, a quote from Jerry Bridges. And the whole concept is, if you listen to yourself, you're going to be a hot mess. Can I tell you, if I listened to myself, I would have quit the ministry. Because almost every Sunday I go home, not all the time, but I go home, and invariably on the way out, one of you's going to mug me over something. That just always happens, you know. You didn't like my sweater, you don't know. Why? How come the light panel's not on? Oh, the light thing broke. Okay, we're going to get it fixed next week. Someone's going to say something, and I'll go home, and I'll sit there and take a nap, and if I'm listening to myself, I'm going to say, no one listens to me. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, really, you try to help people, and they turn and they run the other way. You try to speak to them, they say you're yelling. So if I'm listening to myself, every pastor, they say, Sunday nights and Mondays, they want to quit all the time. But when you preach to yourself, you know, it's not about me. And by the way, they killed Jesus. Woe to men if everyone speaks well of you. So when you start to preach what God's word says, like, wait a minute, God's word's not going to return void. It's not about me, it's about, I proclaim God's truth, hopefully, clearly to you, and you take it, and the Holy Spirit's going to work you over and help you grow and help you love people. And so that's it. That's for everybody. You have to take God's word and you've got to preach it to yourself every day. You get depressed. There's a lot of people in this room get depressed. You know what you got to do? Don't listen to yourself. Because in your head, you're going to say, life is meaningless. It doesn't matter. What was me? And no, you've got to take God's word. What does God say? He has you. Whether you are going through trials, whether you are going through life, I mean, every week I'm sitting down and I'm praying for people that are having surgeries. And what do I pray for them that they'll preach to themselves, that they'll take God's word and they'll believe it and they'll preach it to themselves. Because if you listen to yourself, you'll be twisted. You won't treat people right. You'll be cranky, you'll be sideways, and so will I. I could go on all day on that. Number two, am I equipping myself with Scripture? How is the consistency and quality of my prayer time? Am I making it a priority? Now, that's just feeding ourselves. Number three, have I handled my finances responsibly? Am I generously giving back to the Lord? Just a quick story. Rachel and Matt Rance, 2 weeks ago, we voted them into membership, and Rachel works in the office, and she said, you know, Matt and I mean, they got married very young, 18, and have struggled. They said, we want to really tithe, we want to give. And so I put out a challenge, gave them a book, and I said, this is the one area God says, test me in this. And so they did. They started biblically giving the Old Testament tithe, and as God prospers them, they'll give more. But the cool thing is to hear the story. She came in all excited, and she said, you wouldn't believe what happened. I had this break, and this break, and this break, and I had already given, and God provided money here, and there, and here, and they get it. They get it. And so they understand everything he had for the Lord. So what a neat story. Number four, am I loving my spouse as Scripture teaches? And how have I shown it in words, in actions, and attitudes? Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Wives, see that you respect your husbands. How are you showing that in word, in actions, in attitude? Number five, have I viewed any inappropriate material or wasted too much time on entertainment? Those are hardcore questions. You are being pulled by this world every single day. Number six, am I content with where I am and with what God has given me? Am I daily thanking him? Am I daily thanking him? That's a great one. Number seven, am I praying for God to work in the hearts of people around me? Have I looked for opportunities to share Jesus with them? Or did I wimp out? Do you not know? Do you not know that we live in a lost and dying world, and the only hope for this world is Jesus Christ? Not a political system, not better finances, not a better job. Their only hope is Jesus. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? And so, where are we looking for those opportunities? Number eight, what sins are you struggling with this week? And what are the current idols of your heart? Isn't that a great question? I kind of thought that myself. But there was pride. But seriously, nobody, we all struggle in many ways. Who of us here has not had a struggle this week in your thoughts of something? And I think turning into this and being honest, saying, what am I struggling with? And truly dealing with that. And what are the idols in my heart? Why are you grumpy? Why are you sad? Why are you whatever? And those are good things. Number nine, we'll look at. Number nine, are you confessing your sins to God and to others? How are you fleeing temptation? This is where the accountability comes in. To really ask those hard questions. So how's that going? How's it going? Okay, no, really. How's it going? And then number 10, have you just lied? Because you can lie. You can lie, and if you're not lying to your accountability partner, you're lying to God. And so my prayer is that we would be a people that are so in love with Jesus that we want to be like him. And this little tool, by the way, take this to your computer, put it on your dashboard, put it inside your Bible. I got one inside the leaf of my Bible. I mean, put it, and then look at these things, because check it out. If you look at this on Wednesday, and you really look, it's like, what is going on here? And this will bring the issues of your life to the top. And part of it is, Jesus loves you. He wants you to speak. He wants you to speak the truth to yourself in God's word, and he wants to transform you. We're going to partake of the Lord's table, and as we get ready, we're called to examine ourselves. This table here, so if you're new here, here's what communion is. We remember what Jesus has done for us. This doesn't impart grace. This doesn't get you saved. This is something that we remember until Jesus comes. And so if you're here today and you're a believer, doesn't matter what church you're from, you're invited to partake. There's a warning in Scripture. You got to know him, And if there's sins in your life that there are sin and you don't care, you need to confess that. You don't want to partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. So if there's sins that you know you're sideways on and you don't care, I'm begging you to repent right now. And so what we're going to do is, as we prepare and the service come forward, we're going to have you just spend a little time with Jesus and prepare your hearts.